The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
Good morning, good morning. Ain't it a beautiful morning outside, especially if you're gardening here in the South? Hey, y'all, I'm horticulturist Felda Rushing, and you've tuned in to Mississippi Public Broadcasting's Garden Party. We call it the Gestalt Gardener. My host is awesome, Java Chapman. Happy New Year, folks. For the next hour or so, we're going to be talking about gardening. As my Aunt Mamie used to say, them as can grow, will grow. She's talking about plants that will pretty well grow themselves. Well, I'm here to help you see if we can get a little bit more out of it than just growing, sticking stuff in the dirt, taking it from there. For the next hour or so is live. We got some cheesy music coming up. If you want to give us a call, it's toll free. We'll give the number several times. But main thing is, brand new year. There's stuff blooming out in our gardens in the South. We're going to be talking about those. And for the next hour, just yakking about gardening. If you know it all or you don't know much at all, let's share. We're going to take a quick break and come out with the Gestalt Gardener right after this.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks, welcome back. And again, Happy New Year. Hope it's going to be a great one for everybody. It's a weird one as usual, but they're all weird, aren't they? So we're going to try to make a little sense out of it by just going out in the yard and knocking around. I'm horticulturist Felda Rush, and again, me and Java Chapman are going to be bringing this garden party to everybody. We don't care if you even got, you could be in your bathrobe. Doesn't matter to us. You can be out feeding the birds. We're going to be talking about gardening. There's a lot of things going on. We're going to talk about those, but before we jump in there, let me ask Java something. Java, before we left for the holidays, gave you a handful of bulbs. You got them things growing?
Yeah, and I just had my wife Crystal send me a picture because I wanted to show you how far they've grown. And I just want to say thank you for that. I know you gave it to me with intentions for the kids to kind of get involved, but, you know, they could care less.
Well, you know, and it could be the kid in you, Sir John.
Yeah, that's what you have. You sparked a little interest in me because with these with the bulbs you gave me, I didn't have to do anything. I just put them in some water and I just let them get some sunshine every once in a while. It's no maintenance.
Yeah, well, they're called paper whites. We're going to be talking about that in just a few minutes because I've got some growing myself. Paper whites are the earliest blooming perennial we have. A whole bunch. Matter of fact, let me just jump right into that. And this week in the garden, first, my bad news. I hate to start off the new year with some bad news, but I had two really nice heads of broccoli. I planted about 3 months ago, and they were big. They were big as my head. They're ready to harvest, but I decided to wait till this week because I went on a little trip this past week down to South Florida visiting botanic gardens. Anyway, when I came in to cut them last night, they were seriously off. They weren't flowering, and they looked okay in the dark. When I brought them in, they had little brown buds sprinkling in amongst the green, and they stank. I don't know what the problem was. Anyway, 3 months of babying those things gone to waste. Luckily, I got a compost pile, and luckily there's some little side heads coming along, so I'm going to get some more a little bit quickly. But I'm going to start off the new year with some a garden failure. Oops. That happens, folks. I do have some fat flower buds on my hellebores by some people call Linton roses. Got some different varieties of that. And flowering quince is kicking today with red flowers. Camellias are in bloom. And there's all sorts of stuff. On top of that, I got some early winter metal wildflowers. I got paper whites in first full bloom. Paper white's a type of daffodil, Narcissus tazetta. They're the first of the year. My first to bloom is a true paper white called Narcissus papyraceus. Paper white. It's the earliest. You got pure white flowers in tiny white cups. Mine are in full bloom, but they started with a handful of flowers on Christmas, and they're fragrant. So let me see. That's 2 weeks they've been blooming now. There's some others to follow, but these are the most precious because they're the first, the early paper whites, and they grow just for us. They're typically free just a little further north. Get up in Tennessee, have a hard time with paper whites. And my last daffodil is going to be the twin sisters. They've been grown since the late 1500s. George Washington grew it, flowers for us in April or May. But meanwhile, my paper whites are kicking. They're fragrant. They're cheerful. And you throw them in with some in a vase with some berries of Nandina, maybe a camellia flower. Throw in a couple of magnolia leaves for evergreen, and you got some serious, serious flowers in the yard and in the vase here in the middle of the winter. Deep South gardening, my. Picking up interest for a little steam for interest in something I'm going to be promoting this year. There's not a chance in anytime soon, but sooner or later we're probably going to have a new flag here in Mississippi, and I'm promoting a flag that's got a magnolia flower on it. If you're interested in that at all, go online. Remember this, magnoliaflowerflag.org, magnoliaflowerflag. We got some things coming up today, some events coming in. If you want to give us a call, though, it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. Let's start out right now by going to Melanie. And I can't see, my bifocals can't tell me where she's from. Where are you from, Melanie?
I am from Mobile County.
Okay.
LA, as some people would say.
Lower Eastern Alabama.
Yes. Well, I have a suggestion or a request, maybe would be a better word. I wish you would do a show where everybody called in and shared the best gardening tip anyone ever gave them.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a really good one. That's something I could ask. Let me ask you this. What's the best gardening tip anybody ever gave you?
Well, years ago, somebody told me, I was complaining I didn't have enough time to work in my garden because I worked, and he said, well, if you're going to have a good garden, you have to do something in it every day.
Mm.
And I really thought, yeah, right. But
yeah.
I found that if you just walk around your garden, you know, maybe you pull a little clump of weeds there, or you cut off a little branch there that's getting too low, or, you know, just if you just have your seconders in your hand and you're walking around and the tree limb drags the top of your head, you just reach up and cut it off, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's a lot of time. You know, I'd say if you can't do it with a cup of coffee or a beer in your hand, it ain't fun.
But I do have a question.
Okay.
So I have this camellia. I thought when I bought it, it was Sasanqua,
mm-hmm.
but they bloom early. But this one it has the smaller leaves like the Sasanquas.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most beautiful pink. It's almost the same pink as a Pink Perfection, but it's not Pink Perfection. And I just wondered how do you tell, you know, I mean, is it by the time they bloom? I mean, Japonicas have been blooming, you know, ever since before Christmas. This one is still in tight buds.
Yeah. Well, first of all, there are early blooming Sasanquas, mid-season, and late blooming Sasanquas. There's early, mid, and late season Camellia japonicas.
Okay, I get it.
And so, you know, in Jackson right now, my Sasanquas, I've got one, it's a real popular one that's been in full bloom for a month and a half, still got buds on it. And this is Sasanqua. And the japonicas, some of them started, two or three, 4 weeks ago, even in central Mississippi. So in the Mobile, where they all do well, it's not unusual to have a lot of overlap. In general, the Sasanqua is going to have smaller leaves, somewhat smaller flowers, but typically smaller leaves. And you can sort of look at them. You can probably tell more across the street whether it's Sasanqua or japonica because, you know, Sasanqua just, you know, just daintier somehow.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that's the best way. But there are a lot of Sasanquas that bloom late and japonicas that bloom early. And overlap.
The japonicas, are they just naturally too heavy for their stems, or am
some,
I not giving some. Them enough fertilizer
no,
or something?
No, some of them are. Some of them, it's really unusual, Melanie, how some of the flowers on the japonicas, the flowers are so big, they'll actually shed off the plant while they're still in full bloom. A lot of times
right.
There are entire flowers on the ground beneath them. That's the variety.
Okay.
You know, if they got
all
plenty.
Right. Well, I just wondered if there was something I could do about that other than just pick them and take them in the house and enjoy them.
That, and float them in a bowl. That's right.
That's what I do.
And while you're out walking around, notice how they got honeybees on them even on a cold winter day.
I know. Well, my garden never shuts down. I mean, it's a lot prettier, you know, other times of the year. But it's always got something going on. And, you know, when I hear how to attract wildlife to your garden, my thought is, how do you keep some of it out?
There you go. Well, listen, just walk around and shake a stick at them. That's what you do. Anyway, Melanie, great suggestion, and appreciate your call. Happy New Year. All righty, now let's go down to Copiah County, Mississippi. Shelly Batista. Hey, Shelly, good morning.
Hey, Felder, how are you today?
Fine. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm good. Listen, I failed to email you about our event next week, so I wanted to call in and let you know.
Okay. This is in Crystal Springs.
It's in Crystal Springs, Gallman, actually. It's the Capaya County Master Gardeners.
Yep.
Tuesday the 15th at 6 o'clock. Our topic is Art in the Garden with Larry Strayer of the Craftsman's Guild of Mississippi.
Larry's fun. He's a lot of fun.
I know. I love his Facebook page, The Junkyard Crafts.
Yep.
So he's going to talk all about art and crafts in the garden. He's got a lot of really cool ideas. And it's going to be at the Capaya County Extension Service, which is a quarter mile west of I-55 at exit 65.
65. And that says Gallman, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does.
Okay.
Also, we have a new Master Gardener class starting on January 21st. If anyone is interested, it's going to be at the Extension Service, too.
There you go. Well, listen, Shelley, appreciate it, and I'll hit it again before we go.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Elder.
Let me ask you this. What's the best gardening tip anybody's ever given you?
The best gardening tip anyone's ever given me?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Use natural compost. Composting is probably the best tip I ever received, and it's what I have been telling people for years.
Now, do you mean like in a compost you got to turn and aerate and all like that, or just throw stuff back behind shrubs?
No, just pile it wherever.
There's two rules for a whole book's written on composting, Shelley, but ain't but two rules. Stop throwing that stuff away and pile it up somewhere.
Right, that's right.
Okay, well, Happy New Year, lady.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Elder. Have a good day.
You bet. Okay, that was Shelley Batista. She's with the Capaya County Master Gardeners. It's Gallman, Mississippi, just south of Crystal Springs. And again, this coming Tuesday night at 6 o'clock, they have a thing called Art in a Garden. Larry is a great, great junkyard artist. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing. This is the Gestalt Gardener here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. By the way, I put my paper whites instead of some gravel, which I didn't have, I put them in some Mardi Gras beads. Rolled up some Mardi Gras beads in a vase, put them in there, put just enough water to touch the bottom of the bulb, and within a week, they're 3 inches tall. They're going to be blooming in 2 weeks. Paper whites are so easy to get. Kids or folks who can't get out and about or don't feel like getting out and about, paper whites going to cost you 75 cents a buck a piece. One of them, three of them, whatever. They're easy to bring some real life gardening indoors this time of year. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more of the Gestalt Gardener here on Mississippi Public Broadcasting. Me and Java going to take a break and look at his flowers from pictures his wife sent him.
MPB listeners pay attention to quality. They look for quality in their work and their daily lives. If your business cares about quality customers, look to MPB. Go to mpbonline.org/underwriting for more information.
Okie doke, folks. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. Let's go up to the Delta, to Cleveland. Hey, Charlotte, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm fine. Hope y'all are doing fine. I wanted to share an idea for anyone who wants to doing volunteer work in gardening. For about 3 years, I have taken care of the indoor plants at my mother's nursing home, and there is a good option for people to take care of outdoor plants at nursing homes and assisted living, and it just brings a lot of joy to residents to have indoor plants and to get to see well-cared-for outdoor plants.
That is a great idea.
Once a week, I trim leaves and water and I fertilize as needed, and if a plant gets to ailing, I take it home and repot it or something, and it's just very fulfilling for a gardener who might be interested in doing that.
And it doesn't take any time. You don't even have to know that much about gardening to do some of it. And it brings a lot of joy to people's lives.
And also, the residents who are bound to their rooms. Some of them like to have a plant in their room, and when you make water rounds, just run in there and take care of theirs also, and it's just a lot of fun.
That's a great, great idea. What a great way to start the new year, too, with that kind of sentiment. Thank you. So, Charlotte, let me ask you this. Are you from the Delta?
I grew up at Drew, down the road from y'all's winery, and I've been in Cleveland 11 years.
Okay. Well, you know, this is it's so funny because— you know, I'm a retired horticulture university assistant professor, blah, 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 all these books and stuff, and I enter all over them. But nobody ever tells the most telling thing about my attitude is that I flunked out of Moorhead. You know what that means?
You, I graduated at Moorhead. Yeah.
You don't flunk out of Mississippi Delta Junior College for being dumb because they work with you. You flunk out for having a bad attitude, not going to class. But I learned my lesson. I straightened up. So anyway, welcome back to the Delta for me. Anyway, thank you. What a great idea, Charlotte. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Okay, folks, our number is toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. You know, give us a call. We got some lines open right now. There are some things going on right now, some upcoming events. And one of them, I wish I could have mentioned it last week, but we were on holiday and didn't get a chance. But I'm going to be doing my annual home fruit seminar. It's a free seminar. It's a workshop where I talk about all different kinds of fruits that grow well here, the different varieties of each one that do best, how to avoid or control problems, how to prune, how to plant, and actually showing with demonstrations with each of these. It's indoors. It's free. It's going to start at 9 o'clock on Saturday, and it's at a garden center called Hutto's, which is in Jackson. It's off of Ellis Avenue, about a block north of Interstate 20. Hutto's. Starting at 9 o'clock is free. It's indoors, got plenty of seating, going to have all different kinds of fruits. And I'm going to be showing and telling and talking about pruning and different varieties and all that kind of stuff. It's free. And if it's raining, it's going to still be indoors. So we're going to have a lot of fun. Hope you can make it. If for some reason you can't make it, or in case of Saturday, the rebroadcast, if it's too late, be sure to shoot me an email, because I've got a nice little brochure on home fruits for Mississippi. It works for Alabama and Louisiana. Arkansas too, but it's things that do well here for us that make good yard plants, and they always produce something, either flowers or fruit that you can eat. So that'll be real easy. But if you want to shoot me an email for this PDF thing I've got, I'll send it right to you. And that's, the email is garden@mpbonline.org. But anyway, hope to see some of y'all starting at 9 o'clock at Hutto's on Saturday morning. Also, there's a free beekeeping class this weekend. It's going to be at 2 o'clock at a Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College in the Gaucher campus. It's going to be starting at 2 o'clock, Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College in Gaucher, down on the coast, starting at 2 o'clock. If you have some more things, it's a community service effort. Also, coming up in a couple of weeks, January 27th, there's going to be a workshop on how to grow roses in Jackson. It's going to be free. It's put on by the Mississippi Old Garden Rose Society. Really, it's not a stuffy society. It's real gardeners who grow really tough landscape shrubs that have roses on them, how to prune them and propagate them and all like that. But that's going to be 27th. We've got plenty of time to talk about that. Give us a call at toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Let's go to up to Memphis and talk to Chainsaw Kate. Hey, Kate, how are you this morning?
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist telling her that you had given me the name Chainsaw Kate.
Yes, ma'am, as we say.
I have two or three questions. One is, I have this darn spreading lirio, you know, the tall kind.
Right.
But it's confined to an area where it is really confined.
Right.
On my lawn. It came from underneath some shrubs that were there when we moved here. I've lived here 42 years, so I've been battling it
right.
42 years. But anyway, I want to poison it and try to get rid of it because it's just trying to cause trouble. When will be the best time to poison it, and is Roundup okay?
Well, you know, I hate to poison a perfectly good plant when there may be some master gardeners like to dig it up and sell it at their plant sale. But to answer your question.
Oh, no, not the spreading
okay,
kind.
Okay,
no,
I ain't going to argue with you because you got a chainsaw, okay? But anyway, to answer your question, in the summertime when the new growth comes up, the only thing that's going to be safe for the other plants around there is going to be Roundup. That's the only thing I can recommend. And I'd really like not to recommend anything, but that will do it. But you need to wait till the new growth comes up and kind of toughens up a little bit in the late spring.
Yeah. Well, it's confined. It's not where it'll get into anything else.
Right.
And so I really want to get rid of it. It was behind, underneath some shrubs okay. when we moved here 42 years ago.
Well, my husband
pulled the big old shrubs up with his truck.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
That's when we found out what was under it.
Well, listen, we got some other callers. So what's your other questions?
That darn spiderwort, I'm battling it. I did not know that it comes up again in the fall. I have a confined area. Can I go ahead and poison it now?
This is not a good time to poison anything unless you're trying to kill wildflowers out in the lawn. We need to wait till things have got active new growth on them. That's the way to do it. You know, when they're actively growing, they got new growth that's kind of tender on a nice warm day, that's the best time to do that. So I wouldn't do any of that.
You made me homesick the other day when you mentioned Union Church. That's where I grew up for nine years.
Well, listen, we got Scoop. We got another caller on the line, but Kate, appreciate your call. And if you could find a way in your heart to share that monkey grass, let's do that. Let's go now to Linda. She's from Port Gibson. Hey, Linda.
Hey.
Good
Linda
morning.
From Port Gibson.
Howdy.
I have a question. I keep buying aloe vera plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring them in the house, and you know I water them about once a week.
Oh, that's too much.
Okay.
It's a succulent. You can water it a lot if you've got it in, you know, really good well drained potting soil that dries out real fast, but it'll rot real quick if you keep it too wet, real quick, because it's a succulent like a cactus.
Yeah. So that's what happens.
Yes, what I do is I'd let it get dry before you soak it. So, okay, well, whew. I don't know what the connection was there. Got a little sparkly thing there. Anyway, you want to give us a call, toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about. I want to mention again, though, if you're anywhere near Jackson, this fruit seminar, usually I do it in February, but I'm going to be out and about that weekend. So we're doing a little early this week. It's going to be a home fruit seminar tomorrow, which is January the 12th, I think, something like that. I don't know what tomorrow is. It might be January the 12th. Anyway, Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock, it's a free everything you need and want to know and then some about choosing good varieties, good types, and how to plant and prune fruit plants for the landscape. If you want to have an orchard, I can help with that too, but this is really aimed towards people who want to have a few plants around the yard that look nice all the time and part of the year has a fruit on them. If you have some questions about it, shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. Hey, Java, you want to do that cheesy music right now? Let me ask you first, you into ska music?
Yeah, I am because I like reggae. So, you know, it was ska, then reggae, you know.
Well, this is the Brazilian band. And the past week, I've been touring botanical gardens down in South Florida. I mean, all over South Florida. And I've seen a lot of stuff, but stayed in a Cuban hotel, eating a lot of Cuban music. And I just got that reggae. But anyway, this is not Cuban. It's a Brazilian band called Los Fabuloso Cadillac. And I want to play this in honor of people. It's a stretch who grow fruit in their yard.
Pensar, strawberry feels forever.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Welcome back, folks. Horticulture's Failed to Rushing. It's a brand new year, folks, and it's a nice Sunday. Kind of funky weekend, I think. A little bit of rain coming up. But, you know, I just got back from spending a little bit of time down in South Florida. Flew into Sarasota, and I drove down to Miami, to down to Key West, visit the Botanical Garden folks there. They've had a real nice little nature preserve there. A lot of people go to Key West and think it's all about just drinking and taking pictures by the southernmost point in the continental United States, but really, really cool landscape stuff. Sleeping at night under a Schefflera that most people grow as a potted plant in the corner of their room, Schefflera, that I can't put my arms around the trunk. And reaches up to the third story of this old, old hotel I stayed at. Anyway, saw a whole lot of tropical things. Several weeks ago, I got a call from a fellow who moved up to Mississippi from South Florida, wanted to know what he could do in his garden to keep that tropical feeling. And I'm actually working on a column, maybe a blog about that. And mostly it's just a matter of having some colorful stuff with big, bold foliage. And you could do that even in the wintertime here. I know it's not bold foliage, but the nandinas with the red berries, and they get red or bronze foliage in the winter sunshine. You put your Fatsia plant out there, maybe in a Cuba. Fatsia's got great big dinner plate size leaves, bigger than dinner plates. And a Cuba's got broad leaves like a magnolia with splashes of yellow. And then you put two or three pots out there with some of the tropical plants. The Hawaiian tea plant, that I don't know what color it is. It's fuchsia colored. It's more red than anything. You throw a couple of those out there, drag them in if it's going to get down below 35, and you can have a real, and also put some kind of a colorful wall hanging thing out there. Anything that creates that a colorful, big, bold effect. And you can have a slice of the tropics in your own backyard, even as far north as Tennessee. Heck, even in New York City, you can do that. Anyway, we've got the lines open right now. If you want to give me a call and chat about stuff, it's toll-free, 1-877-MPB-RING. The number is 877-672-7464. I can remember 877-MPB-RING. Ring a whole lot easier. Anyway, we got the lines right open. You know, to give us a call this first broadcast of the new year. We're going to be talking about nothing but gardening every Friday and Saturday here on MPB. We have all sorts of locally produced programs, from everything from auto repair to home repair to cooking to medical stuff, finances, computer stuff, you name it. We got a program here Monday through Friday here on MPB Ring. Again, the toll-free number, 1-877-MPB-RING. One of the things I have a picture of that I show a lot in my presentations around the country is that here in the Deep South, Lower South, Mid-South, Coastal South, we can have colors and flowers the first weekend in January. Right now I've got a collection here. I brought in some paper white narcissus, Narcissus papyraceus. They're real fragrant little white flowers. I've got berries of Nandina domestica. I've got a nice little cluster of the little dwarf magnolia called Little Gem Magnolia, nice greenery. I've got a camellia flower, big pink one. And I've got some, it's kind of a, I don't know what color, salmon red, I guess, of the flowering quince. These are the shrubs and the perennials that are blooming in my garden today. And it can get down to freezing tonight, and they'll still be blooming. So we can have that kind of stuff. You don't have to go to the tropics to have that. And not only that, but even the little wildflowers out in the lawn, the early clovers, the henbit, the dandelions. If you notice, when the weather gets up about 50 or more, there's honeybees, there's little butterflies out there in the middle of the winter. And without those kind of plants, they'd have nothing. So it's up to help a ball out. If you want to control winter weeds, if springtime drives you nuts, in March and April, you got so many weeds in your yard, you don't know what to do. If you want to control those, this is the time. You know, if you wait, they're harder to kill without hurting your grass. So if you have stickers and clover and henbit and garlic and onions and all those wonderful winter meadow wildflowers that the honeybees and blowfly, if you just don't like them, can't stand them, this is the time to control them. If you use any of those sprays that they have for broadleaf weeds, that'll control them. Your grass is nearly dormant or dormant, and it won't hurt your grass. The weeds are smaller. They're easier to control right now. So if you call me in March or April, I'm going to say nothing you can do. Just mow them, and that'll pretty well take care of them. But I'm going to say you should have paid attention back in January, and that's what I'm doing right now. Hey, let's go to Madison to talk with John. Hey, John, good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine. What's up?
I have a pretty good winter garden this year. Got my kale and all the greens and stuff. And actually, this year I've got Brussels sprouts, and I've never gotten them this far. I figured they'd been dead long by now.
They should have been, yeah.
What I do with them, they look like little balls of cabbage right now, but they're not. There's no sign of them shooting up like you see in the grocery store or whatever. So.
Well, yeah, they're not going to grow as well in the grocery store because those are grown in a cooler climates. What they don't like here is hot weather, of course, but they also don't like freezing weather. That slows them down. So, you know, it's sort of iffy. If you could give them just a little bit of liquid fertilizer, just a little bit, then that'll spur them on a little bit. In other words, don't push them with a whole bunch, but just give them a light shot. And that'll make them swell up as much as they're going to. But you're right. It's not the best time. If we have a freeze, then I'd go ahead and harvest them. I mean, they're just little cabbages. You could eat them raw if you wanted to.
Well, they're going to spike up, though, like you see in the grocery stores, or should I just grab the one little ball?
No, if they're starting to make those little balls, then that's all it is. Also, keep in mind, commercial growers, you know, they grow them in, a lot. It's sort of like celery. You can grow celery here, but it's really hard to pull off because it doesn't like cool weather, it doesn't like hot weather, and we have both, even the wintertime. So you get a little fertilizer and see if you can get what you can out of them this year.
Okay. All right, thanks.
Good luck on it. Okay, I'm going to continue talking to another guy named John, but this is Lamar County. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning, Felder.
What's up?
I wanted to mention to you my mother's two favorite flowers.
Yeah.
And her biggest pet peeve.
Okay.
Before Christmas on one of your shows, you were talking about a plant that you had found some cuttings where they had been clearing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And you took them home and rooted them.
Yeah, that was the angel trumpet.
It's a Brugmansia, the actual name. But it is also called a Datura tree.
Well, actually, Datura is different. Datura and Brugmansia are close related, but Datura flowers are white and they go upwards. But the Brugmansia is that one that hangs down.
Flowers are white and purple. Sometimes they're purple.
Oh, that's right.
They face upward. And the Brugmansia that you call the wedding bell, that you call the angel trumpet,
yeah,
hangs straight down.
Yeah.
And because of that, those are called wedding bells.
Huh.
Because they hang along that line. Now, I have seen them called angel trumpets.
Well, see, angel trumpet is, you know, when we call common name, this is a folk name for anything that looks like a trumpet.
Right. But, I mean, because the Datura blossoms face up,
yeah,
they're the ones that are called the trumpets. The white ones are called angel trumpets, and the purple ones are called the devil's
and
trumpets.
And this is your mother's favorite flower?
It's they were my mother's two favorite flowers. She loved the yellow and the white wedding bells.
Yeah.
And then she liked she never had the purple devil's trumpets, but she loved the angel trumpets.
Yeah,
trumpets, which are the Daturas.
Well, that's great. Now, what was
low-lying bush?
What was her pet peeve?
Calling the wedding bells angel trumpets.
Well, you know, I was raised by a mother that you don't correct, but you know, the truth is, these common or folk names. There are so many different plants called trumpet. Because of the shape of flower, those are folk names.
Well, their flowers
names
look identical, except for the favorite.
That's the reason horticulturists, you know, stick with the Latin name Brugmansia, and Daturas. You know, that's the reason you stick with those kind of things because the folk names can change from plant, and sooner or later you can honk somebody's mama off if you call it the wrong thing.
Absolutely.
Well, we appreciate you. Your mama still with us?
No, she's not.
Okay, well, I hope you hugged her while you could. Appreciate your call, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, now we're going to, I think it's, I can't remember, Madison. Is this Shimmy? Jenny?
Yes.
What? How you pronounce your name?
My name sounds pronounced like Chin.
Chin, okay.
It's Jenny.
Jenny, okay, Jenny.
Yeah. I have two questions this morning. One is my yard is full with weeds. I can see when any day feels a little bit hotter, I can see the weeds are already sprouting. So there are clover, there are, I can name all of those, but it is full with weeds. So tell me, what can I do to prevent?
Okay, so her lawn has got a lot of weeds in it, right?
Yes. Yes, okay. That is one.
Okay.
And I have another question, that is, how to, let me put it, like I have some rose bushes,
uh-huh.
but the rose bushes are not growing that well.
Yeah.
So tell me, what can I do about that?
Okay, let's take them, the first one first. The weeds that are in the lawn are there because the lawn isn't very thick. You know, I tell people all the time, the number one control for weeds is to take care of your lawn in the summer so it's real thick. It'll shade out and crowd out a lot of the weeds. So weeds are a symptom that this summer she needs to raise her lawnmower so it mows high. A lot of people cut grass too close and it gets thin and the weeds come up. So if you'll raise the lawnmower so it cuts higher, then that alone will keep a lot of the weeds from coming back next year. In the short run, if you spray for weeds right now, it can kill a lot of them, but more are going to come back into bare spaces. So spraying is sort of a temporary fix. There are some sprays you can use for lawn for weeds in the lawn this time of year. I would urge you to not use that stuff they call weed and feed. This combination of fertilizer and weed killers, they don't work well at all. They're real popular, and they're good sales, but they don't work well. So use a liquid spray that's for winter weeds. And if you'll do that sometime the next 2 or 3 weeks or so, that'll control them pretty much for the rest of the year. But we need to raise the lawnmower up so that this summer the grass gets nice and thick and you won't have as many weeds next year.
Is there any brand name you can say, or what is the composition?
There are a lot of brands, and I don't keep track of them because they're like different brands of tomato sauce or ketchup or whatever, or jellies. But if you go to a garden center, you want something. If it says it'll control dandelions or uh-huh. clover, it'll control uh-huh. most of the weeds. So try that. Now.
Okay.
As far as the roses, what rose growers, and I grow several roses myself, sometime this month or next, if you'll cut the roses down to about knee high, about 2 feet tall, it sounds kind of strange, but pruning the roses back really hard in the wintertime sort of gives them a more vigorous start in the spring. This is what almost all rose growers cut them back to, a foot and a half or 2 feet tall in the wintertime. And then sometime in the spring, they give them just a little bit of fertilizer, at all. Now, let me ask you this, Chinny, are the roses in the sun or in the shade?
Some are in the shade.
Okay.
Some are in the sun.
They need to be in the sun. They're not going to bloom well at all in the shade. So those that are blooming in the sun, I'd prune them back. Sometime in spring, give them a little fertilizer, just a handful of fertilizer. And those who are in the shade, you might want to think about cutting them back and then sometime over the next few weeks and move them to a sunnier spot before they start sprouting in the spring. That'll give them a better chance.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you so much.
Okay, now if you have any questions, email me anytime. It's garden@mpbonline.org. I'll be glad to help you any. Righty, now let's go to Hibbett in Jackson. Good morning, Sir Hibbett. How are you?
Good morning, Felder. Two quick questions. My wife wants to keep the amaryllis that we got for Christmas. Is that possible, or should we compost them? And then the other question is, we have a beautiful hibiscus that she wants me to make cuttings of for this coming summer.
Uh-huh.
How do I go about doing that?
Well, I'll answer them backwards. The hibiscus, is this the one with the slick leaves and the kind of big pretty flowers?
Yes.
Okay. They're tropical plants. They normally grow year-round. So as long as it's got some new growth on it that's, you know, not too tender, you can root them just about any time. If you've got moist potting soil, take cuttings, 4, 5, 6 inches long, moist potting soil, but put a plastic bag or a cut the bottom off a cola bottle or something, slip over it like a miniature greenhouse to keep the humidity high, because humidity indoors is real low, and plants need humidity and warmth to really grow well. So try that.
Good.
Now, as far as the amaryllis, a lot of the really pretty amaryllis, the great big colorful kinds, they're borderline hardy. They grow okay further south, but they'll do all right here if you put them in a place where they don't stay too wet. And what I would do right now, they got leaves. I'll keep them in the pots. I wouldn't do that. I got dug some amaryllis a couple of weeks ago. I'm letting them dry. Just cut the leaves off and stick them out in a place where they get some sun this spring, and let's see what happens. But make sure they don't stay too wet.
Okay, great advice.
Go ahead, New Year. Yeah, go ahead and cut the leaves back, though, Hibbert, because otherwise they're going to flop over anyway.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, 1-877-MPB-RING, or give us a call. There's a few things going on right now. Coming up in next week is going to be, 2 weeks, it's going to be How to Grow Roses Workshop. It's a free public workshop on how to grow roses. Speakers with topics from where to buy them, what roses do well in our area, how to plant, fertilize, prune, propagate. It's going to be at the Pearl Community Center on Old Brandon Road in Pearl, Mississippi. They're going to do some pruning at the historic Greenwood Cemetery downtown Jackson, but that's in February. We got plenty of time to talk about that. This weekend, Beekeepers Association of Mississippi Gulf Coast going to have a free program on beekeeping. It's going to start at 2 o'clock at the Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College campus, Goshen. And also I'm going to do a free home fruit seminar at Hutto's Garden Center in Jackson starting at 9 o'clock. We're going to take a real quick break, come back with your phone calls right after this.
Deep South Dining is the show all about the culture of Southern flavor. From fried chicken and collard greens to shrimp and grits and a glass of sweet tea. Subscribe now to the podcast using any podcast app or download our MPB public media app.
All righty, folks, welcome back to Horticulture's Felder Rushing. By the way, if you have an event you'd like me to help promote on this, shoot me an email sometime before the program. It's toll-free email, garden@mpbonline.org. Love to promote them. Got to find out about them ahead of time. Hey, let's go to I'm not sure, is this Genevieve in Madison?
Yes, this is Genevieve.
Genevieve, howdy. Howdy, what's up?
I planted some irises a couple of years ago,
uh-huh,
and they bloomed real pretty last year. I was told that if they get too thick, they won't bloom. I was just trying to figure out if I should pull some of them out.
Okay, you know, and it's really odd, Genevieve, because I really, you know, being a horticulturist, written all these books, I know a lot of facts that I wish I didn't know. And the truth is, you don't have to know much about much of anything. But irises have one of the few rules I know of, and that's don't cover them up with mulch. Mm-hmm. You know, that rhizome, that ropey-looking rhizome, needs to be baking in the sun. So as long as they'll bloom in the crown. I've seen irises are real, real thick. Mm-hmm. Every few years, you know, it's good to divide them, give them a little elbow room for the new growth to have a room to grow. But as long as they look pretty good last year, I wouldn't worry so much about it. Pull the mulch back, though, because the flower bud, you know, if you think, you know, if you're making a fist like you're threatening somebody, the tooth, you know, your ring finger and index finger are going to be leaf buds, but that middle finger is going to be the flower bud, and it can rot real easy, or snails or slugs can chew on it. So main thing is pull the mulch back so that they're baking in the sun, and let's see what happens. And just every few years, just dig them up and spread them around.
Okay, thank you. I love your show.
I appreciate it. Where are you from? How long have you been here in Mississippi?
Like 6 years.
Okay. Has it been strange, the gardening and all that?
A little bit, but it's came from Arizona. So definitely
Arizona? Where?
Tucson and Phoenix.
Ooh, love that. You know, the Phoenix, the desert botanical garden there is terrific, but the little botanical garden in Tucson is one of the sweetest in the country.
Oh, yeah, I love them both for sure. They're so interesting and so different than here.
It is different, but there are some things that will grow there, believe it or not, that uniquely desert Arizona that will also grow here. So shoot me an email. I speak Arizona.
Okay,
shoot me an email anytime, Genevieve.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Okay, let's go to Pat now up in Greenville. Oops, yes, Greenville. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Hi, Felder. Good morning to you, too, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. What's up?
I have a Japanese maple that's in my backyard, and I need to move it. Some workers need to get back there with a truck to cut some trees down.
Yeah.
And this Japanese maple's been in the ground about 10 years.
Ouch. That's going to be hard to do. You could do it, but the problem is, and I worked at a garden center over in Indianola, growing and digging and moving trees. And if you break the root ball, the plant will die. Problem is, you can only get a root ball that's about as big around as what you can put your arms around. See, so what you need to do is go out from the trunk about a foot or foot and a half and cut straight down all the way around, severing the roots all the way around, and then use that to undercut the tree all the way around. In other words, cut all the roots straight down and underneath before you ever pick it up, and then you can lift it up like rolling a towel or something up under. If you've ever changed a bed with somebody in it, you can figure that one out. In other words, don't grab it by the trunk or the root ball. Lift it up with using some kind of a burlap or a towel or something like that to try to keep from breaking that root ball.
Okay, and how deep do I need to go?
The roots, you know, in the delta, you're not going to, when you can crunch through most of the roots within 6 inches, shovel deep. What I do is I dig straight down all the way around, then I make a second cut outside that one, and I've done this many, many times, and then dig the dirt out sort of like standing up in a trench so you can get up under it easier with the cutting all the way around.
Okay.
And if you want to shoot me an email, I can explain it a little bit better. But the other thing is you're going to need to compensate. All the roots that feed those leaves are going to be way out from the trunk, and you're leaving those behind. So it's going to be real important to thin out some of the top, cut some limbs off, and then cut some branches off the limbs that are left to reduce that canopy. It's going to be real important this summer.
Fantastic.
Shoot me an email.
I'll do that.
Okay, Pat. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, and let's go down to Natchez. Hey, Lee, good morning.
Morning, Felder. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure, what's up?
Well, I have, someone crashed into a 100-year-old crepe myrtle on my property.
Ouch.
And took out one of the large trunks.
Yeah.
When it happened, it left a large divot down into the root and some sticking up.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know how to repair that damage so that the tree will survive well. Okay. I don't want water to get there. I'm going to cut it to where the jaggy parts that are up are off of it, I don't know what to do down into the root.
That's all you can do. That's all you can do. Luckily, crepe myrtles are more of a shrub than a tree, and they can tolerate a lot of damage, a whole lot, and recover pretty well. But other than making a clean cut, get rid of the ragged stuff, that's about all you can do. There's the pruning paints and, you know, all those kind of wound treatments. They are pure cosmetic. And keep in mind, I taught this course, the tree surgery course in Mississippi State. They're pure cosmetic. So all you can do is make as clean a cut as you possibly can, and let's see what happens. You know, maybe put you a ground cover over beside it so you don't have to look at it and think about it all the time.
Okay, so water down into the root won't be a problem as far as rot?
You can cut crepe myrtles off flush with the ground and turn them into a bowl, and they're going to sprout out around that. They're real, real good at recovering. But there's nothing else you can do about it, seriously.
All right. Thank you, Felder. Okay. I appreciate your advice on that.
You know, you can have some people at the botanic, you know, at some of the historic thing. Well, you put concrete in? No, you can't. Just cut it off and plant you something around it so it don't bother you.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's the truth. You bet, Lee. Appreciate it. We got a bunch of phone calls today, Sir Java. We got a whole bunch of them. You paper-wise, your wife sent a picture of it. The thing's got flowers on the top of it.
Yeah, I told you I like them because it's just no maintenance. All I did was put them in the water, and you gave me the suggestion about having something to anchor them down.
Because you see how those little roots come out the bottom, and they would have pushed it right out.
Because I didn't know anything about that, so I went to the Dollar Tree, got those little decorative rocks. And, I mean, hey, I just put water in it when I see the water getting low. That's all I do.
I roamed around the top of my desk and found some Mardi Gras beads and put mine in there. But the main thing is just something with the roots to tangle. Now, something you did, I did different than you. You put water in there, and yours are blooming. They're about over a foot tall, 15 inches tall. Mine are going to bloom at about 6 or 8 inches because I put some alcohol in the water.
And people here were telling me about that. It kind of stunts its growth a little bit.
It does. They bloom the same time. The flowers are the same. Everything is identical except they bloom at 6 or 8 inches tall. It doesn't take much. You can kill them with alcohol. It's like one part rubbing alcohol with 10 parts water. But that's what I started to do. Of course, my little cabin smells like a brewery right now.
Yeah, I thought you said rubbing alcohol. I thought you were talking maybe some vodka or something.
Well, yeah, if you got it. But anyway, that little alcohol and paper white trick, it's real, real easy. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, just Google it. Cornell University Research. The Gestalt Gardener is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, folks. We call it Think Radio. My producer, the laid-back or hard-working Java Chapman. I've been your host. I'm going to be thinking of you this all this weekend. As Aunt Mamie used to say about her plants, them that can grow will grow. Glad I could help take it a step further. Main thing is that if you see the day as a new opportunity, give it another chance, give it a go. Go to a garden center, farmer's market. Stop telling your kids to go outside. Take them outside. Take them to a garden center, farmer's market, a field trip, and show them how to do what we do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.